One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is the Funny Mummies podcast, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Patty Ashdown, comedian, writer, actress, and mother to two very lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, arts, and anyone who can help us in this crazy world of parenting. So settle in as we find the funny side of parenting and being bloody great women.
Hello and welcome to the Funny Mummies with me, Hattie Ashdown, of course. And we've got her back because if you've been listening in order, we had Kelly Convey last month and Gemma Beagley was out getting her hair done. So couldn't make it, darling. But she's back in her bedroom. We're on Zoom. For those watching on YouTube, hello.
Oh, we're on YouTube. Hi, how are you?
We might be on, I'm putting it on YouTube as well now.
Sure, all the platforms.
All the platforms.
I am back. And for clarification for anybody watching on YouTube, I got my hair cut. I didn't get it coloured. We'll talk about it later. It's just like, I'm doing that thing. I'm just like, look, I've got a spot. Just because I want to, just to say, yeah, I know.
It's a bit like in stand-up, they say, if you've got certain things about you, you should refer to it straight away. So it's like, call it. We've just given a little stand-up tip away to people. There we go, giving you gems. So what we're trying to do, excuse me.
Wow.
I've had a bit of tea and I've rushed to this because I slept in, because my son slept in my bed, which is part of our topic today. We'll get to that in a minute. I don't know what we're going to call this, but let's just call it Mums on Media.
Okay,
so we're going to do a little short series. Oh, it might be a short series if we decide we don't like it, because we can just do what the hell we want, can't we, Gemma? But we thought it'd be nice to just have me and Gemma talk about topical stuff, and obviously this is monthly at the moment, so it's topical, more of a kind of review, a look at. And I don't know about you, but I can never keep up with news. And sometimes I'll read something that happened like weeks and weeks ago and go, oh my God, I didn't know that happened. So hopefully we'll be bringing some nuggets to you, but mainly just our sort of like moany opinions on them or something.
Yeah. Oh, I struggle with that.
Oh, yeah. I'll be the chirpy one and you'll be the... I'm at home. I've got the scarf on because I'm still trying to keep the heating off. But for those who don't know, we are in a cost of living crisis.
I think people are shortening it to the cossy live or something.
Yeah. Oh, are they?
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't think it's too bad. I mean, with the global warming, obviously it's not that cold at the moment. So
yeah, I mean, I guess we could all move to some kind of coastal area in Asia, perhaps, where we're really feeling the effects of global warming. I put the heating on this morning and I'm recording live from next to a radiator. I am not good with being uncomfortable. Including being cold, and I'm thinking that I'm happy to probably forego maybe the mid-range stuff in the supermarket in order to put my heating on.
That's a good idea. So it's
downgrade toilet roll, that kind of thing. I'm absolutely willing to do that.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, you see, I do like the comfort toilet rolls. Could this get any more female? Here's a flashback. My dad used to have those paper toilet, just for him. I don't know why. My mum would go, always for your dad. Like those one that they were really rough, and they were like came out in what I would want to say slices from the box.
Oh my god!
And it's like tracing paper, but and it was one of those memories that now both my parents are dead. I can't ask them, but I want to go. Dad, why? Like, why did you find that better? But it was like, it's like he had a bear's ass or something. Like,
hang on. So you're talking about like the trace that used to be in school, like the tracing paper.
No, it was toilet paper, but it
said, now wash your hands on it. It was printed, now wash your hands on the toilet paper. And it was tracing paper.
No, but it was like tracing paper. It was proper toilet paper because it was in like a box that was toilet paper, I think. But now I'm wondering. But obviously I remember looking at it as a child because you go, oh, what's, you know, like, why has daddy got his own special toilet paper? And you just accepted it because he's a daddy and he's broad and he's big and it's like, oh yeah, that's what daddy has. But now I'm like, Dad, why did you want a rough old paper on your bottom?
It's that working class is what he, you know, no, I'm all right, thank you. I'm all right with this paper.
Yeah, yes. Like, no fuss for me.
No, none of that. None of that soft stuff on my ass.
Oh my goodness. Well, we didn't even have, talking of heating, we don't even have central heating for a lot of my childhood, I remember.
No, same.
Didn't you?
No, or double glazing. It was absolutely bloody freezing in my house.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing these, one of these kind of, but you know what? Because it was awful. It was awful. and we would... Yeah, like it was like proper like two jumpers in bed and all that, and you'd just be lying in bed going, oh god.
And around your window, it was all a bit damp and that.
Yeah.
Then eventually, thought it was very fancy, we got the electric heaters in.
Mm.
When they became, I think there was like a deal on them. So my mum was like, okay. But what turned out was they were really expensive to have on.
Yeah.
So they were there, but never on. And so
we had these gas fires, which again sound like a carbon monoxide nightmare, but the ignition on them had gone.
Oh my god!
So as children, we would get a piece of paper, roll it up, light it off the hob, walk through the house with fire, right? Turn the gas we'd have to. That's what we do. By the way, you know, it was my birthday yesterday. I was 42. Like, I wasn't born. We're not talking about the 1910s here.
No.
About the 90s, yeah.
This isn't, yeah, well, for me, like, late 80s, yeah, 90s. I think we had, what do you call those fires? They're like a grill.
Because
they got like a grill, haven't they?
That's right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I do remember exactly the same where the ignition thing went. And we'd have to get the long, and it was like, you got the long matches. And then if you didn't have them, it was really annoying. And then, oh my God. So basically, people don't know they're born now.
They don't.
They don't know they're born.
Try walking through the house with a bit of Evening Standard on fire to get it.
Oh, I can imagine your mum getting you to do that. But that's not the only reason I'm wearing a scarf. I am really noticing the crepey neck. And I think I'm just literally, and this is coming into some of our topical stuff. So when this comes out on Wednesday, that could be any Wednesday. What would be the date on Wednesday? I don't know. And we're in November anyway. But October was Menopause Awareness Month. So, and I know, yeah, don't start turning off now, because I just want to briefly talk about it, because I feel really I've got into it. As you know, I think I've bored
you are into it.
You with my voice notes about it. And I remember I used to be bored by other people when they go on about it. But it not just because I think it's happening to me. It's just like Davina says, Davina McCall, it is a revolution needs to happen. Because, it's just, I don't know where to start. But, you know, like things like the hot flush and how that's always been like a comedy thing of like, oh, you know, oh, auntie's having a hot flush, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I'm just having one of me hot flushes and all that sort of thing. But actually reading about it, it's a really serious thing that happens and your blood pressure goes up and all like that. And I was thinking about it and I thought, you wouldn't do that with somebody who's having an insulin sort of shock, you know, like a diabetic thing. You wouldn't go, oh, she's having one of her fits. One of her... She's just having a fit. So I'm not going to go on about it. I'll let you get Davina McCall's book. Yes, I'll push it because I love Davina. I mean, she's not, no, you know, she has her things, but I do think that the fact that she's giving this a voice, I love, because it's so many things I've been ticking the box with. You know, I had moments where I thought I was going mad, even madder. I mean, it's hard for me because I'm quite a mad person. Mm. And a lot of the things that they tick, like the brain fog, I'm like, I think I've had brain fog since I was born.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
have you had the test?
So I've had, but okay, this is public information for people. If you are 45 or over 45 and you are getting the symptoms, you do not have to have a blood test. They will, as in, they can give you HRT or you can start other natural remedies and whatever. You don't have to have the blood test, but a lot of the places will, just in case there's any other underlying thing. I've had one blood test, and in the lovely way that doctors do, the results got a bit messed up, so I've had to do it again this week. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I've had a blood test this week actually, and basically it doesn't. This is another myth buster. If you are still having periods, that is perimenopause, and you can have HRT. But I haven't had a period for about 2 months, so mine are definitely all over the place. And I've come off, so about a year ago, I was feeling like, I went to my sisters and I said, did you have any of this in your 40s? And they were like, no, no. And I felt so alone. I felt like, what's going on with me? I don't feel like me. I was really angry, and even angrier than normal. And they put me on antidepressants. But I remember at the time, I didn't really want to go on antidepressants because I was like, I don't feel depressed. I just feel really angry and icky and, a bit low. But the lowness comes from not feeling yourself, if that makes sense. So, year later, I'm off the antidepressants. I've gone off them. I've been off about 3 weeks.
Oh, Turks? Collie Turks?
Collie Turks?
Cold turkey. You just stopped them?
Yeah. Well, I'd faded them out a little bit every other day. Yeah. And all I would say so far is I'm just doing a lot of crying, but I don't mind. I like a bit of cry. I think the antidepressants, one thing I didn't like about them was there was that thing of like, oh, that sad film, but like the tears won't come out. It was a bit, like that. So we'll see. That's my journey so far. That's the myth. I think if you're about 35, you've just got to be, from 35 upwards, you've got to be a bit aware of it. And obviously there's people that have early menopause because of medical reasons or operations or just bloody, you know, happens to people.
Okay.
Mm.
So, I think, obviously, if people are having a fine old time in their menopause, then good for them. I think that the awareness has turned into fear, and I think that I know that all I seem to hear is it's coming, it's going to come, it's going to be 10 years of horror, and this is what it's going to be like, and you're going to lose your marbles, and this is going to happen, you're going to get fat and your fanny's going to dry up, and it's just going to be awful. And you know, if people are having a hard time, then I'm absolutely for, like, this is what you can do.
Yeah, and obviously not everyone does have a hard time. Some people slip through it.
But then that, I feel like that isn't being said.
If you read Davina's book or anyway, they do say that, you know, and not everybody. I mean, I remember my mum's friend, a friend's mum's friend.
A woman.
A woman said that she had the coil, and she reckoned the coil made her just completely slip through the menopause without any problems. But she might have also just been somebody that it didn't affect her.
Didn't affect, yeah.
And it's just to have the knowledge so that you don't think, oh, for those that do have it, that you don't think, you know, not to bring the party down, but people don't realise that women in their 40s, it's one of the highest rates of suicide. And you've got all the breakups of marriages and stuff like that.
Absolutely. And
so
you
it's
know,
just to bring the knowledge.
Which is great, but I just feel that, you know, and I know it's because I'm a woman of a certain age. Because, you know, my friends are generally my age, around my age, that it's just this thing of like, I guess if we bring it back to puberty, that this, you know, it feels like there'd be 8 and 9 year old, say, girls being told, oh, you know, this is what, and you're going to feel terrible every month, and it's going to be really heavy, and you're going to bleed through your uniform, and, you know, and it smells, and all this stuff, and your boobs are going to grow, and it's, you know, and I feel like, I guess what I feel is what's coming to me in my media that I'm, yeah, that I'm, is just this kind of, it's going to be terrible, it's going to be, and I would quite like a balanced media. However, why would anybody be talking about
because that's not
being normal, like why would you that's not content. Hello. It's not content.
News today, menopause is brilliant. but you know, there are, you're right. Well, I'm here to say balance. I'm here to say that I know that all the symptoms that I've got could be a lot worse, but it's nice to know that possibly I can go and get some HRT or combined pill.
Right. Can we talk? Right. This is turning into some kind of science podcast, which is fine because I love a bit of science. Combined pill. What do you know about it? Right. When I was, you know, when you've given birth and you're leaving the hospital and they're like freaking chucking condoms at you and just going, oh, what contraception are you thinking of using as your, you know, your bits
carrying of, your beautiful baby into the car
in one hand and your left of your genitals in the other, right? and they're shouting about contraception, wanting to know what contraception you're going to use. Now, I was told that I was too old to go on the combined pill, and they gave me the progesterone only, which I hated because you had to take every single day, and I'm not very good at taking things every single day. And so I was just constantly, you know, put you off your breakfast. So I was constantly bleeding, constantly.
Oh!
But I was told I was too old for the combined pill because I was on the combined pill forever since I was like, you know.
Were you asking the wrong person? I know nothing about the science, but I mean, there's millions of different types of those, but I just know that I read one of the latest chapters of Davina's book was about some people choose, particularly if they are under 50, to go on the combined pill because there's estrogen in there, which is what needs replacing in my body. Yeah, so...
It was, I mean, in the 90s, and, you know, I'm glad we've moved on.
Yeah.
But it was like, oh, we've got to be careful with the combined, but we get thrombosis was always the thing. Oh, you get thrombosis. But then there's stuff in the night, it's like toxic shock syndrome that don't seem to be talked about anymore.
Oh, God.
Anyway, so I'm... Look, and this is what... I don't have a plan, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't have a peri plan. Trademark, Gemma Beagley. However... From the first signs, as soon as I can, you get that HRT into me. I'm not dicking around. I'm no natural stuff for me.
Good.
You get that patch or however it comes these days, probably tablets. Forget, that's it. No, I ain't suffering. I'm not doing it. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Woohoo! I'm with you. I can't wait. Right. Let's move on to... Do your story or mine?
Oh, I mean, I'm not particularly fussed about my story.
I'm not fussed about mine, but no, we're really selling it, aren't we? Okay, so Christina Ricci. This happened like in late September, really, so we're not really up to date, but there you go. From Adam's Family. That's all I know her from. So there was just an article about her co-sleeping with her 8-year-old son. And Christine Richards revealed she still sleeps in the same bed as her 8-year-old son, Freddie, after he became distressed during sleep training when he was younger. But her new baby, Chloe, however, who is 9 months old, has no such difficulty. So, what's the problem there, obviously?
If you carry on reading, though, that there was something that disturbed me a little bit.
Ah, okay.
So she's got a new baby.
Discussing her sleeping arrangement, the fact that I can put her down in her crib, this bit?
No, keep going.
And she just goes to sleep when my 8-year-old still sleeps with me is amazing. She added to People magazine, regarding Freddie at Cleo's age, he screamed himself hoarse and started banging his head against the crib railing, calling for a change of tactic on Richie's part. But with Cleo, when he decided to try it and see how he would react to it, she just sort of whined for about 7 minutes and then lay down, clutched her little unicorn and went to sleep. I'm not reading the bit you mean, do you?
Her son and her daughter have got different fathers.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if the setup there then is that the 8-year-old is sharing a bed with her and his stepdad.
Oh, that was going to be my next thing, because when they were tiny babies, I've got to be honest, it wasn't for me. Like, I was just so scared of, squashing them. And I couldn't sleep. It was like I was in a higher state of consciousness. I was like, you know, most of the time my boobs were quite sore because I was breastfeeding. So, and I've got to be honest, with the second one, I did probably fall asleep a bit more in the bed with him there. But then, yeah, I'd put him down in the cot. However, when they're older, it is different and you just want a quiet life. But if it's just me and him, then it's all right. I can sleep. But it's the problem is the three of us. There's not enough room.
Mm.
And everyone sleeps differently and there's arms and legs everywhere. So what, you think? You just think it's a bit weird if he's sleeping with this stepdad?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Oh God, that's a whole nother topic.
Yeah, I just, yeah, there's that. But however, I mean, the story was a little bit like, it was a bit clickbaity. So yeah, it was actually, I think, more about sleep training than it was about the fact that. So my son is 8. Probably it's only really been this year that he has stopped getting into my bed regularly. So I rarely wake up with him in bed next to me. I'm on my own, as you know. So it is like logistically it is different. But I think it's got to be personal. And I think that, you know, I don't know if you and I have spoken about this, but like at what age with boys, like at what age do I lock the door to go to the toilet, or when I'm in the shower, or, you know, actually it's, you know, does it become inappropriate to be naked in front of my son? And I feel like it is almost like a same thing, really. And I'm interested to hear what other mums have done when they've just been quite open about nudity.
I love you.
That's
did
nice.
You hear that
Buster?
That was Huxley.
You know, what? So I'd be interested to hear what other mums have done around that. Or have they just been, oh, I'm naked, I don't care that he's 14.
Yeah.
No, seriously. I mean, you know.
Well, yeah, comment below. We'll read it out next time. Yeah, because I know my sister she still does, sleep naked. And so I don't think her boys ever got into, I don't think they wanted to show up with her, probably because of the nakedness. Mm-hmm. But I know there was always a thing that we would go, oh, Lynn, like she would walk around naked and they'd be like, Mom.
Right. Do you think so? Maybe it's led by.
Yeah, I remember we would go, Lee, maybe put a dressing gown on around the. I think she was quite, you know, Mother Earthy and just thought, you know, it's fine. But mine are 4 and 7, and they go through phases at the moment, I would say, is the thing. They go through a phase for whatever reason where they're coming. It can be like in the middle of the night, and then they just stay there because you haven't got the energy to fight it. And I am sort of nudging their dad to go in the spare bed. Because if someone goes, it's fine.
Yeah. So it's a logistic. It's like a logistic.
Yeah,
thing,
they can be quite cute. But yeah, but then I don't know. I mean, I feel so lovey with them at the moment that like I can't. Like, as in, I'm looking at friends. I've got a friend that's got 2, like, teenage boys. And all she keeps saying when she sees my posts is, oh, I miss my boys being small. Mm. And so I am just lapping it up, you know. And so the thought of them, I just can't imagine them being teenagers and wanting to come in the bed. I think we all know. I can see already if I am, I stopped having bath with them about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from the fact there wasn't enough room.
Right. Okay.
So logistics. You just know. I can't put it into words. You just know. They're sort of like staring a lot and asking questions and I always answer them. I'm very honest, you know. And I just thought, nah, it's time to stop this. And it was sad. It was really, really sad. I think I was more sad about that than stopping breastfeeding. Well, I wasn't sad about stopping breastfeeding. because... Yeah, we'd put candles on, which sounds
amazing. Okay. What the hell do you do for romance?
We put Disney music on. Maybe this is why my marriage is like so going wrong. No, it's not. It can be a chance to talk about the day because you've got that kind of one-on thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you just find other ways. I mean, we do it. At night now, like when they've had their story, my oldest says, shall we have a chat, Mum?
Oh, that's nice.
And we have a little chat. But so I think, good for her. But I think she's got to start looking. If it's every night, see, the thing is, there's a difference.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know what the story is.
Good night. And he's going to sleep in her bed. Mine goes to sleep in their bed. That's the only thing that does worry me. Mm. And I don't know the medical information on. Because there's a whole thing about, isn't there? Oh, what was the thing you say? On-demand feeding and all that used to be, it actually makes a child more independent. And I never used to understand all that theory. But I don't know if it's the same with co-sleeping. But I would say, okay, just to finish up on this one, I slept, as you know, in my mum and dad's bedroom until I was 7. Mm-hmm. Again, because we were like the Waltons and there were so many of us in the house. 10 minutes left. And I don't think it did me any good because when I then got my own room, I started wetting the bed again.
Yeah.
And I know I wasn't, you know, I was really insecure because I'd loved the sort of like coziness of being in bed with it. It took a long time for me to settle in. So there you go.
Oh yeah, I agree. And I think I've said it on here before that, I co-slept with Al from when he was born. I was never worried that I was going to squash him. So I could just whop a boob out and, you know, feed him and just be asleep, you know, and it worked. However, it took years to get him out of our bed, years. And people did say, oh, you're making a rod for your own back, but I'd be like, do you know what? I don't care. I'll deal with that later.
Yeah, right now,
I just want to sleep. So my experience was that yes, it did. You know, it did. It took a long time. What impact it's had on mine on his relationship, I don't know. There have been other things I think which have brought us close together. The breakup of mine and his dad's marriage, I think, has brought us close together. It probably had much, much more impact.
Yeah.
Than you know.
Me and I think the whole sleep thing is so connected. Like, So immediately with you, I just think, God, anything goes because of what he's been through and stuff. I just think, yeah, and he's a sound little kid, so it's like you've got nothing to worry about in that way. But the whole sleep thing is so connected to what's going on in our lives
at that moment.
Like, at that moment. So
how can you, as a as a sleep deprived parent, be? I don't know how anyone can think about the consequences of something that's going to happen years and years down the line. You know, it feels like the sleep equivalent of signing a child up to a private school from the moment they're born. It's just like, sorry, what are you? Have you? Why are you like? Come on, Buddhism, stay in the moment. You know, it's just kind of, yeah.
And just to go full circle, think about this, mums, when you're worrying about seeing. Now, when my dad died, I talked about this with Carrie Ad Lloyd. I don't know how it happened, but I ended up sleeping in the same bed with my mum for about 6 months. And it was more for her than me because she was crying herself to sleep. And
can you remember the was it like did you feel that she'd invited you into the bed by being said, remember. Or you don't remember anything?
Don't remember. I just remember it happening. It was like a natural thing. Just a natural thing that I just went, yeah. But maybe she did, but I don't think. I think it was more like it was like overnight I stepped up to be the man in the house a little bit.
Yeah.
That's a whole other subject. We've only got a couple of minutes, so I thought we'd just end on any mums that you want to highlight in the media. I just want to flag up. I feel like she's a funny mummy, even though we've never managed to get her on here, but she has been on my Screaming with Laughter Lunchtime Comedy Club. Ellie Taylor, who is on Strictly, absolutely smashing it. And
I don't watch it, but potential winner?
Potential winner, yeah. Or she'll definitely go to the final, I think. Keep changing my mind. I mean, I am watching it. I keep changing my mind about who I think is going to win. But I do think it might be one of the guys.
And is that probably more? It's more to do with profile than it is to do with.
No.
Oh no. Okay.
I've become like such a Strictly bore. Like, I've been like, oh yeah, they wasn't dancing quite from their core and all this sort of rubbish. But yeah, maybe a bit of profile, but also people's just, I don't know. Just some people were just, yeah, got it. But Ellie is, she could win because she's making the development, you know. But yeah, and I just keep thinking, oh my God, you know, because it's just like every day, all day. And I know that's one of the reasons she moved back closer to be with her mum and dad so they can help with childcare because, you know, that must be quite full on.
So what's her what's her weeks like then? Is she 7 days a week or like what's?
I don't think they get
wow
any days off because they're rehearsing all week and then Saturday is the live show and then Sunday is the result show. So, yeah, but come on, she's learning to dance. I mean, fantastic. But
so and also the profile lift that she'll get from that is brilliant. And I've always loved her. I've always thought that she's just been a really cool woman.
Yeah.
You know, her she wrote a great book about parenting. I think she's really, you know, and she's beautiful as well, you know. She's just
I know.
And she got it all, hats.
And she got it all.
But she's nice. I don't begrudge her.
She is nice. And I think that's where, we did pen in for her to try and get on the podcast to do with her book, but it didn't quite happen. And it probably won't happen now. She'll be a big Strictly star.
Big star.
You got any mums you got to flag up? I mean, you can be, doesn't have to be someone famous. Like
red flag or white flag or what's the flag?
What?
Red flag some mums. This is a warning. Not really. I'm not gonna lie. I haven't been big on social media anyway recently. Just been trying to stay off the screen a little bit. So I'm not particularly engaged.
Is that a conscious thing to?
Yeah. So I bought myself a little puzzle book.
Okay.
So on my commute, I do crosswords.
That is such a lovely idea.
Am I a hipster? Am I an old granny? I don't know. Maybe a bit of both.
Maybe a bit of both. I mean, this is the future now, isn't it? I just feel like, I hope, because our kids are like similar age, that by the time they come teenagers, I really want the phones to just be a little bit like, oh, so uncool.
Yes.
And they're getting the knitting needles out, you know?
Yeah. We go back to analog. Yeah, we go back to weaving and yeah.
I'm so scared about them having a phone, Gemma. I'm so scared about
them. Oh, Al wants one. When can I get a phone? I was just like, no, you get a phone when you are, I said to him, when he goes to walks to school on his own, that's when he can get a phone.
Yes.
But like, what? I said to him, what do you want it for? What do you want a phone for?
Oh, did so you say to...
So I can talk to my dad. I was like, well, just have my phone talk to you. Like, you don't need a phone.
It is that. The trouble is, it is that just ownership thing. Because Hux has been asking for his own computer. And I was like, look, you can have your own profile on the iPad. And he's like, no, I just want that ownership thing. And we had the same, but it was probably with different things.
Like what?
As I said that, I was like, actually nothing. Probably like a doll's house.
I remember I wanted my own bedroom. Like that was the thing. And then I got it. I remember I got my own bedroom, and then I'd go and sleep in with my sister because I missed
her. So yeah. Do you know what? I wanted my own desk, and I still haven't really got my own flipping desk. I'm still for viewers. I'm in my bedroom in the corner. Like I just want
my own pile of books. Yeah.
Well, on that note. Well. I think this has been jolly fun. Please do keep subscribing. If you're not already subscribing, it saves you the job of having to remember. It will just drop in your box and say, ba-boom, new episode. Where the second Wednesday of the month is when they drop at the moment. Keep listening and keep learning. Hey.
Yeah. Hey, guys. But most importantly, take care of you.
Yeah.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.